Well, good morning, church. It's a bit sad that I can't join you guys in person this morning. It seems like COVID has affected us all, but I'm still glad that I'm able to be bringing God's word to you on this Sunday morning. We are continuing our series on Proverbs, and like we've been seeing, Proverbs has a lot of wisdom for daily life. Today, we are looking at the topic of wisdom on wealth. We're looking at what it looks like to handle money wisely. I hope it's helpful for you as you think about your own finances and how you should be spending your money. I'm going to be praying for God to help us as we get into His Word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know the goodness of wealth, but we also know the dangers of wealth. And so, Lord, we pray that your word may help us to think and feel wisely about the good things that you have given us, about the money that we earn. We pray that we may gain and spend and see wealth as wise people. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our world sends us some really confusing and conflicting messages about money. On the one hand, our world tells us that money isn't everything. It tells us to not get caught up in greed and consumerism and the desire for material things, and instead to pursue life's simple joys, simple pleasures, to search for meaning and purpose in life rather than things. But on the other hand, from the exact same world, and sometimes even from the exact same people, you get a message which can basically be summarized as greed is good. Good intentions don't put food on the table. You look around the world, and all the other people in the world, they don't just have a job. They have investment portfolios. They have side hustles, and so that's what you need in order to stay competitive. And so you've got these two very different messages about wealth in the world, and those messages that we hear, they also affect our judgments about people, don't they? You know, if you see a wealthy person in the world, depending on the things that have influenced us, we might, on the one hand, think that they are competent and dedicated and wise and hardworking, or we might think that they must be corrupt. Same with a poor person. You know, we might think that they've made a mess of their lives. They should have made better choices in their lives. Or we might think that they're a victim of our heartless and compassionless system. It depends on the messages that we have received about money. So, which message do we believe? Is money good or is it not good? Should we seek money or should we not? As we look at the book of Proverbs on the topic of wealth, we're going to see that it's not as simple as saying that wealth is good or wealth is bad. In Proverbs, there's no particular virtue in having wealth, and there's no particular virtue in not having wealth. And evaluating the quality of a person purely from their financial status is impossible. You know, we're going to see that in Proverbs, the important thing, the emphasis, is not on your wealth, but on you. It's on the kind of person you are and on whether you use your wealth wisely. We've been seeing over the last couple of weeks that Proverbs is a wisdom book in the Bible. It's the Word of God, it's God's wisdom, but it's God's wisdom that is distilled through the life experience of wise men and women in the world. We saw last week God's wisdom on work and how he calls workers to engage in work that is worthy and just and diligent and to seek good company in your work as well. Today we're going to see what Proverbs has to say about a different topic, on the topic of wealth. And the advice Proverbs gives for this, it falls into three broad categories. Proverbs talks about, firstly, gaining wealth wisely, secondly, spending wealth wisely, and thirdly, seeing wealth wisely. And so, firstly, we're going to look at gaining wealth wisely. Or what does Proverbs have to say about how we should gain wealth? Well, the vast majority of Proverbs, when it talks about gaining wealth, it talks about gaining wealth righteously. And that means not gaining wealth through crime or gaining wealth through dishonesty or through bribes. Basically, just doing honest work. That is the way to gain wealth. Now, we do this because it pleases God, because Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And so, to a certain extent, God tells us to do it, we do it. But Proverbs also says that, look, in general, following God's ways, gaining wealth wisely, righteously, it's also better for you in this life as well. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. It says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. You know, it's basically saying here, look, if you obtain your wealth honestly, it lasts. No one can take it from you. But if you get it dishonestly, well, eventually it's going to end up in the hands of good people. You know, your assets get seized, you have to return what you stole. That kind of wealth does not last. And then Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 to 17, it says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. It's saying here, look, if you cheat to get more money, you know, you might get more money, but that often comes with a hidden cost. There's the word turmoil there, and that word there means inner turmoil. There's the guilt of knowing that you have done the wrong thing, the guilt of having to live with yourself for having done that. And Proverbs is saying, look, it's better to have less with a completely clear conscience. And then verse 17 also talks about the hatred. You know, doing the wrong thing often gets you enemies. You're going to antagonize people. Maybe it's better to give up on some financial gain if it means loving people instead and having people love you. And then have a look at Proverbs 15, verse 27. It says, the greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will thrive. You know, Proverbs is saying to us here in this world, you want to be the kind of person who cannot be bought. And I think that in our world, often opinions are bought now, aren't they? People are bribed or threatened to say certain things on social media. They're bribed or threatened to show favoritism to certain people or groups of people in politics. And often when we see the things that people say, we don't often see the cash or the threats that change hands behind the scenes. Proverbs is saying that that is a poor way to get wealth. And Christians have to distance themselves from that kind of false face that people present to the world, because eventually it will ruin you. People will find out, or you're going to back the wrong horse one day, or you're just going to get so used to expressing other people's opinions that you don't even know what yours are. You know, better instead to be a person of integrity and honesty who hates that kind of false-facing attitude. And so Christians are called to gain wealth righteously and honestly. But also, there's another dimension to the way that Christians are called to gain wealth. Christians are also called to gain wealth slowly. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. It says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. You know, you see what it's saying here. It's saying get rich quick is not a thing. Proverbs is calling people to get rich slow instead. It was a very depressing thing for me this week, looking at stories of people who've won the lottery, who squandered their money on sports cars, casinos, shopping sprees, failed businesses, family members asking for money, random people who recognized you as a lottery winner asking you for money as well. These people couldn't handle it, and a lot of these guys ended up almost where they started. You know, one lottery winner said, I was much happier when I was broke. Another said, winning the lottery is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. You know, what Proverbs says is true, isn't it? Wealth gained hastily will dwindle. The promises of quick wealth, the internet ads, the lottery tickets, the casinos, it doesn't work. You see those ads on the internet. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe it's just kind of the algorithms kind of working for me. Maybe it says more about me, what I get. But I see these ads where they tell me to quit my job and just trade from home and earn money that way, investing. You know, I see those ads, right? But I've never, ever met a person in life who says that that is what they do for a living. I have, however, met a lot of people with jobs. And I think that's one of the great things about Proverbs, how grounded it is, how realistic. You know, it cuts through the fantasies and the false promises that we are sold in our world. And it tells us here that there is no shortcut to wealth. Wise people gain wealth righteously, and they gain wealth slowly. But it would be a shame to gain wealth wisely and then to spend it foolishly. You know, the things we were talking about before, you know, widescreen TVs, hotel stays, big parties. That's why Proverbs also outlines what wise people do with their money, how they spend their wealth wisely. Proverbs, firstly, though, has quite a bit on the benefits of wealth. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15 says, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is in their ruin." You know, there is security in wealth. You can buy doors and locks and security systems. Proverbs 14, verse 20 as well says, "The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends." Wealth brings friends, and wealth sometimes buys friends. It's a social lubricant. That's just the way things are. There are benefits associated with having money. But on the topic of actually spending wealth, what should you do with your money? Proverbs has even higher priorities. Proverbs calls wise people to spend their money on God, on the poor, and on wisdom. And so firstly, Proverbs calls us to spend our wealth on God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, the passage that we just read, it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Honoring God with our wealth is not just an obligation that we fulfill. We don't do it just because God tells us to. It's a recognition that what we have is from God, that everything we have has been given to us in his love, and we owe God thanks for it. You know, it's not like we're doing a favor for God when we give money to him. It's not magnanimous generosity. It is the least we could do. And so are you honoring the Lord with your wealth? Does the amount that you give and the way that you give reflect a respect and an honor for God? Does it show that you actually care about him? Are you giving your first fruits to God, or are you giving your last fruits? When I was in my 20s, I heard a Christian financial planner once say that the best way to honor God financially is before anything else when you budget. The first thing that you budget is start with budgeting a bold and generous amount to God, and you budget everything else around that. And I think that's not bad. You know, it sounds a lot like the first fruits idea here, because God knows when you are giving your best to him. And God also knows when you're just giving him your leftovers. He can tell the difference. Wise people spend their wealth on God. Wise people also spend their wealth on the poor. There are many, many, many verses in Proverbs on charity, on having a heart for the poor. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want." You know, it's saying here, giving to the poor does not make you poor. You know, you don't have to be worried about that. You know, I've spoken to quite a few people who do not have a place to live. Do you want to know how many of them said to me, "Oh, like the reason I'm on the street is because I gave too much to the poor"? You know, none of them did, zero. And in fact, I would hazard a guess and say that kind of if pretty much all of us gave generously to God and gave generously to the poor, we would not even feel it. We wouldn't even notice it in our daily lives. And so Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16, it says, "Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty." And so it seems like here that there's kind of this wrongness to the idea that money should flow from the rich to the rich, or that money should flow from the poor to the rich. No, it's saying here that money is meant to flow from the rich to the poor. But Proverbs goes even further than this. Also, it ties a person's generosity to the poor to their generosity to God. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5 says, "Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished." And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." You know, it's saying here, look, how you treat the poor is how you treat God. Because humans are made in the image of God, and no matter how rich or poor they are, they all equally bear his image and are therefore worthy of respect. Now, exactly how you give to the poor, or kind of which poor you give to, Proverbs doesn't say. And I think there are many, many different ways in our world. Some of us I know support children through compassion. Some of us have taken part in food for the homeless activities in our shire. Some of us make financial donations to charities. You know, I'm not really one to argue too much about how you do it, or what's the best way to do it, or what's the best organization to give it to. It's kind of like reaching the lost, kind of like preaching the word to people who don't believe. You know, I don't want to discourage people from doing it, however they do it. You know, it's just about being wise, being compassionate, and wise people spend their wealth on the poor. And then finally, wise people do spend money on themselves. But in Proverbs, spending money on ourselves is not buying ourselves things or experiences or holidays. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. It says, "Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding." You know, the best investment that you can make with your money is not to try and make more money with it. You know, that's just building bigger barns. The best investment that Proverbs says is in wisdom. And we have heard from Proverbs chapter 1 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And so how much money are you spending to make yourself wise? One of the things that I've noticed in my life is that the things that I spend money on are the things that I actually use. You know, I have so many free books and free ebooks and free movies and free Steam games that I have never, ever touched. But if I spend my own money on something, I am much more likely to pick it up and use it. And there's always that reluctance that I have, you know, when I contemplate buying something. You know, it might be the Asian in me, you know, do I really need this? And it even happens when I bought things like, you know, my note-taking Bible or my last few Christian books. But I've always found that it's worth it. And I like to think I am significantly wiser and I'm walking more closely with God because of those investments. And so can I encourage you to do those things too, to invest in wisdom? Wise people spend money on themselves, not for their own pleasure, but for their own wisdom. And that, along with spending money on God and spending money on the poor, is how people spend money wisely. And so we've talked about gaining money, we've talked about spending money. It might seem like that's all there is to talk about as far as wealth is concerned, but when it comes to wealth, Proverbs also encourages us to take a step back from all this thinking about wealth and actually ask ourselves the bigger questions. Ask ourselves questions like, why am I so concerned with getting and spending wealth rightly? Is there something perhaps that's wrong there with being so obsessed with wealth in the first place? And so that's the last theme regarding wealth in Proverbs, seeing wealth rightly. Proverbs speaks about the goodness of wealth, it speaks about the usefulness of wealth, but also it speaks about how wealth blinds us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 23, "The poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly." It's saying there that there is a rudeness that comes with wealth, and especially a rudeness to the poor. A sense of entitlement, a feeling like you are better or superior because you are wealthy. There was a study done that found that drivers of high-status vehicles like Mercedes were four times as likely to cut off other drivers compared with drivers of low-status vehicles like Toyota Corollas. They were also three times as likely to not stop at pedestrian crossings, even when pedestrians had the right of way. You know, wealth, it just does something to your head. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 11 as well, it says, "A rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has understanding will find him out." You know, with wealth comes pride. Wealthy people say all sorts of arrogant things about themselves. "I am like a smart person. I'm a very stable genius. I have a very good brain." But Proverbs tells us that wealth and wisdom are two very different things, and Proverbs shows us that one is much more important than the other. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold." Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 to 11 as well. "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." You know, Proverbs is calling us to make our goal in life not to grow our treasuries of wealth, but to grow our treasuries of wisdom. To gain the kinds of treasures that come from fearing the Lord, heeding his commands, respecting his wisdom, not our own, and walking in step, walking in sync with the reality that he has made. Now, for most of us, I reckon the balance that you have in your bank accounts is probably increasing, not decreasing. It's probably increasing slowly. You know, you're gaining wealth slowly, which is fine. It's great. Your balance of wisdom, though, is harder to measure. Is your wisdom increasing? Are you working for that? Or are you just plateauing or even maybe declining in wisdom? Because there is no more fool. There is no fool that is more sad to see than a rich one. Proverbs shows us that true wealth is in wisdom. But it also shows us even more than that. It also shows us that wealth is also much less important than righteousness. Proverbs 11, verse 4, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." And Proverbs 11, 28, "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." You know, it's saying here, look, no matter how rich you are, it will not save you from God. If you are still in your sins, you can't buy or bribe your way out of judgment. Riches will not help you on the last day when Jesus comes to judge, but righteousness will help you forever. And so if you're not a Christian, if you do not know whether you are right with God or not, this is a time when I say to you that that's the most important question that you need to sort out, that righteousness, more than wealth, is what you need. And the only way to become righteous in God's eyes is to trust in the fact that Jesus has died for you, taken your sins onto himself, and that Jesus has given you his righteousness. And our response to that generous gift of God is to trust in Jesus and live lives that show we are thankful to God. I want to say, look, if you have that, if you have that forgiveness and acceptance from God, that righteousness through Jesus, that is a treasure more valuable than any amount of wealth in the world. Because Proverbs teaches us that true wealth is righteousness, and true wealth is wisdom. That kind of sentiment is the kind of sentiment that Jesus calls us to in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, when he says, you know, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Proverbs teaches us to see wealth rightly. So in light of all that, how wealthy are you? Proverbs calls us to gain wealth wisely, to gain wealth righteously and slowly. Do you need to change something in your life to be wise in that way? Proverbs calls us to spend wealth wisely, spending our first fruits on God and then after that on the poor and on gaining wisdom. Do you need to change something there in order to be wise in the way that you spend your money? And Proverbs calls us to see wealth wisely, to see wisdom and righteousness as the true treasures of life. Do you need to change something there so that you can be growing your balance in those things? Your answers to those questions, more than how much you have, are actually going to show how rich you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the wisdom of Proverbs. Thank you that Proverbs cuts through the messages that we see about money that we hear in our society. Thank you that it shows us the complex and multifaceted truth about money, about finances, and about wealth. And so, Lord, we pray that we may be people who gain wealth wisely. Please help us to shun quick ways to wealth, whether they be unrighteous ways or false promises of wealth. Please help us to be people who gather wealth little by little. Please also help us to be people who spend our wealth wisely, people who give our first fruits to you, people who are generous to the poor, and also people who invest in wisdom ourselves. Heavenly Father, we also pray that we may see wealth wisely, that as good and helpful as money is, we pray that our hearts may be drawn less to that and more to wisdom, more to righteousness, knowing that it is the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, that has saved us from death, knowing that it is the wisdom that comes from your word that will enable us to walk in good relationship with you. Please help us to love that rather than the treasures of this world. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. I hope to see you next week.